Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Constitution of Liberty is a major work of political philosophy and classical liberal thought by F.A. Hayek, first published in 1960 and later issued in a definitive edition. It is not a narrative book, but an extended argument about how a free society can be preserved through limited government, the rule of law, and respect for individual choice. Hayek distinguishes freedom from mere political permission, defining it instead as the absence of coercion by others under general and predictable rules. He links this idea to broader questions about law, economics, institutions, and social order, arguing that liberty depends on arrangements that allow people to use dispersed knowledge without central direction. The book is both a defense of market coordination and a critique of planning, welfare state expansion, and discretionary power. It remains influential because it connects constitutional structure to everyday freedom in a systematic way. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hayek redefines liberty as freedom from coercion, not political license. A central contribution of the book is its precise definition of freedom. Hayek does not treat liberty as the ability to do anything one wants, nor as a collective promise of equal outcomes. Instead, he defines it as the absence of coercion by other people, especially coercion exercised through arbitrary power. This matters because it shifts the discussion from intentions to institutions. A person may formally be allowed to act, yet still be unfree if decisions are subject to unpredictable interference or administrative pressure. Hayek argues that a free society must therefore create conditions in which individuals can plan their lives with reasonable confidence. That requires general rules rather than personalized commands. The concept is important because it makes liberty measurable in institutional terms if the state or other actors can interfere selectively. Freedom is weakened even when democratic procedures remain in place. This framing also explains why Hayek rejects the idea that political majorities automatically confer justice. For him, liberty survives only when coercive power is limited by stable rules that apply equally to all. Secondly, the rule of law as the institutional safeguard of a free society. Hayek treats the rule of law as the practical framework that makes liberty durable. He does not mean merely the existence of laws, but laws that are general, abstract, and predictable. Such laws set known boundaries for action without directing citizens toward specific social goals. This distinction is crucial to the book because it separates constitutional government from discretionary rule. When officials can decide case by case what is permitted, law becomes a tool of control rather than a shield against it. Hayek connects this view to traditions in English common law and constitutionalism, where legal limits evolve to restrain arbitrary authority. The deeper argument is that liberty depends on predictability. People can only make plans, exchange, invest, and cooperate if they know the rules in advance. A legal system that constantly bends to political aims undermines that reliability. Hayek also warns that even well-intentioned welfare administration can erode freedom if it gives agencies broad discretionary powers. The rule of law is therefore not a formal ideal only. It is the mechanism by which a society preserves independence, trust, and voluntary cooperation. Thirdly, spontaneous order versus central planning in economic and social life. Another major theme is Hayek's defense of spontaneous order. He argues that complex social coordination does not require a central planner because knowledge in society is dispersed among millions of individuals. Prices, competition, and local decision-making allow this knowledge to be used without any single authority needing to understand the whole system. This is one of the book's strongest economic and philosophical claims. Order can emerge from many separate choices when institutions allow people to respond freely to signals and incentives. Hayek contrasts this with central planning, which assumes that a governing authority can gather enough information to organize society intentionally. He sees that assumption as mistaken and dangerous because it encourages coercion while underestimating complexity. The market is not praised simply for efficiency in a narrow sense, but for its epistemic function, it communicates information and coordinates dispersed plans. This helps explain why Hayek links freedom and prosperity. When individuals are free to experiment, learn, and adjust, society benefits from innovation and adaptation that no planner could design in advance. The book, therefore, treats decentralized order as both more knowledgeable and less coercive than deliberate control. Fourthly, why majority rule and welfare state expansion can still threaten liberty. Hayek does not accept democracy as sufficient protection for freedom. He argues that majority rule is a procedure, not a moral guarantee, and can become oppressive when it is not bounded by constitutional constraints. A majority may support measures that redistribute power, expand administrative discretion, or override individual choice in the name of public purpose. From Hayek's perspective, this creates a subtle form of coercion because the burden of state action falls on specific people while the political process masks the loss of independence. He is especially concerned about the growth of the welfare state when it relies on continual intervention, detailed economic management, and broad bureaucratic powers. The issue is not social concern itself, but the way aid and regulation can weaken the predictability that liberty requires. Hayek also worries that progressive taxation, inflationary finance, and economic controls allow governments to steer behavior through indirect coercion. These tools may appear technical or humane, yet they can erode constitutional limits over time. The book's warning is that liberty is often lost gradually, not through overt tyranny, but through accumulated discretion and the normalization of administrative power. Lastly, a constitutional theory of freedom grounded in prudence and institutional restraint. The book ultimately offers a constitutional philosophy rather than a simple defense of markets. Hayek insists that free societies require humility about what governments can know and accomplish. Social order is too complex to be designed from above with confidence, so political power must be restrained by principles that leave room for individual discovery. This is why prudence is so important in the book. It is a political virtue that resists the temptation to solve every problem through direct intervention. Hayek does not argue for anarchy or for the absence of public institutions. He accepts a state role in maintaining law, security, and the conditions for freedom, but he insists that this role must remain limited, general, and accountable to constitutional safeguards. The deeper value of the book lies in bringing together law, economics, history, and political theory into one argument about freedom as a civilizational achievement. It is not just a critique of socialism or planning, it is a proposal for how a free order can survive modern pressures without abandoning its core principles. That integrated vision is what gives the book its lasting influence. In conclusion, The Constitution of Liberty is best suited for readers interested in political theory, constitutional design, classical liberalism, and the philosophical foundations of free markets. It is especially valuable for students, policy readers, economists, lawyers, and anyone trying to understand why liberty depends on more than elections or good intentions. The book rewards careful reading because it connects abstract ideas to concrete institutional questions: how laws should be written, why discretion matters, and how social coordination works without central command. Compared with many books on freedom, it stands out for its scope and structure. Hayek does not simply praise markets or criticize government. He builds a theory of liberty that unites legal restraint, dispersed knowledge, and constitutional limits into one framework. That makes it more demanding than a typical popular defense of capitalism, but also more durable. Readers come away with a sharper understanding of why predictable rules matter, why planning has built-in limits, and why democratic majorities can still threaten freedom when unchecked. It is a foundational text for understanding modern debates about state power and individual autonomy. If you would like to support F.A. Hayek, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.